I'm being filled with the knowledge of His will, in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing Him in all respects. I'm bearing fruit in every good work. And I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. I think that's better. I think we should be doing it like that. After, for those who are wondering where it is, it's from the book of Colossians chapter 1. That was a prayer that Paul prayed for the Colossians, all right, when he was introducing his letter. And we see that we are claiming those things by faith. It shows us what is important, what is most important in the mind of God, or what is more important than many of the things that people are seeking for. All right, let's continue our discussion on total faith. I like the topic. I've been blessed by it so far. Total faith. And today I want us to take a text of the scriptures to start today. Let's take two of them. First of all, let's read the one we have been reading, the book of Mark chapter 11. The book of Mark chapter 11 is the one we will start with. That has been like our text for this series. The story is about when Jesus went to Bethany and to Jerusalem. And the Bible says, of course, we've been reading from verse 20, when they were passing in the morning and they saw the fig tree that he cursed the day before withered from the roots up. And Peter reminded him, saying, "Rabbi, look at the fig tree that you cursed, it has withered." Now look at verse 22. The Bible says, "And Jesus answered, saying to them, have faith in God," or literally in Greek, he says, "have faith of God," that is, have the faith of God. He now said, "Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart the condition for fulfillment of the word that he's uttering is the faith that is in his heart." He said, "And does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says is going to happen, he says it will be granted him. Therefore, I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, if you can believe that you have received them, they will be granted you." Now, that's my own understanding of that. But literally what it says in most translations is that, "Therefore, I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, believe that you have received them, and they will be granted you." And I said, whenever you stand praying, forgive. Now, let me just read this again for us in the Amplified Translation. That verse 22, it says in the Amplified Translation, "The Lord Jesus answered to them, have faith in God constantly." Why I read that is that constant thing that he said there. And that's what we've been looking at. Let's read another one before I also do a short review and then go into the main point I want to make today. Okay, let's look at Matthew chapter 8. Now, this is our second text, Matthew chapter 8, from verse 5. "And when Jesus entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, imploring him and saying, 'Lord, my servant is lying paralyzed at home, fearfully tormented.' And Jesus said to him, 'I will come and heal him.'" Notice verse 8. "But the centurion said, 'Lord, I am not worthy for you to come under my roof, but just say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to the other, come, and he comes. And to my slave, do this, and he does it.' Now when Jesus heard this, he marveled and said to those who were following, 'Truly I say to you, I have not found such great faith with anyone in Israel.' Then I went ahead and said some things. 'I say to you that many will come from east and west and recline at the table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the sons of the kingdom will be cast out into the outer darkness. In that place,' he says, 'there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.' And I said to the man," in verse 13, "'Go, it shall be done for you as you have believed.' And the servant was healed that very moment." Now, why did I read this? It's because the Lord Jesus said, "I have not found such great faith with anyone in Israel." That is, the Lord Jesus looked at the faith of this man and said, "This faith is great." Let me just remind us of something before I go on in my teaching for today. Faith is required for anything that we are going to get in life from the hand of God. Faith is required for anything we are going to do in life for the Lord. There is nothing you do in life for Him that is done outside faith. Anything you do out of faith is sin, even if you think you are doing good. I hope you are getting my point. Anything you are going to do in life for God, anything you are going to receive from Him, will be on the basis of faith. That is the foundation for everything we are doing as Christians. If you are going to be healed of diseases, it will be because of faith. If you are going to prosper so that you'll be able to give to the gospel, it will be because of faith. If you are going to live long, it will be because of faith. Are you getting my point? If you are going to go to heaven, it will be because of faith. I think that should be clear, right? Going to heaven, forget those who say they dreamt and they went to hellfire and they saw people because they were wearing earrings. I've told you before, it's not true. Those who go to heaven because of what? Faith. It is the unbelieving, all right, that finds their way to hellfire. Their works are the manifestation of their lack of faith. I need to just say that again. So when we are teaching like this, it's important. If we are going to have success in our lives, if we are going to have a fulfilled life working with God, it is going to be because we are walking by faith. It makes sense, therefore, that the quest of our hearts should be to increase our faith. There was a time that the disciples looked at the Lord Jesus and said, "This one you have said is what? Plenty." So they said to Him, "Increase our faith." And we're going to look at that in the course of this series. Faith can be increased. And when they said that, it was because the Lord Jesus told them that if somebody offends you and returns 7 times in repentance, you must forgive. And Peter and John said, lie. That man is he owing me money. What are you talking about forgiving? So for me to be able to forgive, I need extra faith. So they begged Him, increase our faith. You read that story in the book of Mark chapter 9. A man had a son that he loved, gravely tormented. And he came to Jesus and said, "If you can do anything." And Jesus said, "What do you mean if I can do anything?" The problem is whether you can believe. Listen, no matter what is going on out there, your faith can help you float. You are getting my point? Let the naira crash and be 100,000 naira to the dollar. Let fuel price increase. And they say 1 liter is 2,005 to fuel your car. All right? I'm not saying it should happen. I'm praying for those who don't have faith so that it doesn't happen. But no matter what happens, by faith, you will not only survive, you will triumph. Amen. By faith, you will not only survive, you will overcome. Amen. By faith, you will not only survive, you will prosper. Amen. In the midst of adversity, faith will take care of you. Amen. You want to start a business? You must have faith for success. You are starting a family? You must have faith for victory. Faith is the basis upon which you get everything that you are going to get in life. It's the base upon which the power of God flows. When God was promising Abraham a child, when God was promising Abraham an inheritance, when God was promising Abraham lands that his children will inherit, He understood that, "Abraham, everything I have said will not come to pass except you take these things by faith." So you know what He began to do? He began to train Abraham in faith. Abraham was trained in faith. All the experience of your life, God wants to increase your faith. So please, I want you to understand that. So we are doing these teachings again so that we will understand what is fundamental to Christianity. Listen, the fact that God has... You know, people don't realize sometimes. The fact that God has promised something is not all that is required for it to come to pass. They have to be activated by faith. The promises of God are activated by faith. If God says, "With long life, I will satisfy Him and show Him my salvation," when you read that, you will tell that promise, say, "You are my own." If short life wants to enter your house, say, "Boy, you don't get this point. You don't belong here." If long life wants to go out of the window, say, "Long life, come back here." That is the fight of faith. He said, "Fight the good fight of faith." In life as a believer, you fight unbelief. You kick it out of your life. Do you know why? Because if God wants you to have something, if God wants you to do something, I must always emphasize that, all right? If God wants to be able to do something for Him, maybe we are preaching the gospel. I like to use myself as an example. I'm a preacher, all right? If God wants you to preach around the world, if you sit down and don't activate it by faith, you will preach around your house. You will preach maybe around Enugu. If you sit down there and you are complaining every time, you know, things are really tight. Dollar is now very difficult to get. How do we pay international channels? Do we talk, speak plenty English? Listen to me. You will limit your own ability to overcome and to do things for God in life. And then the day of judgment, they will say, oh, how did he do? He said he only preached around Enugu. We wanted him to preach around the globe. So they say, what is the opposite of well done? None done. So, you know, there's well done. There's none done. Thou, I don't want to use the word bad. Thou not good, not so good, and not very faithful servant. Just go and sit in that corner of thy Lord. That is, it is not entered into the joy. Are you getting my point here? Then you now mount up protest because you're a lawyer. You studied law. And I tell the Lord that please, I think on the basis of equity, the principle of equity, this is not fair. This judgment is not fair. Why? I will have preached around the world if only you have sent money when we needed it. To preach around the world was going to take $500,000 a month. But all I got was ₦500,000 a week. You know that kind of thing. So that was where it carried me to. I was only able to take a bike or keke napep and go from one part of Enugu to another. And the Lord says to you, it is because, or it was because of your unbelief. So he judges you for your unbelief, that you should have gotten up and activated by faith the resources to preach around the world. You should have gotten up and refused to let those things be a hindrance. Life always presents to us excuses so that he would say, this is why I did not do this. And go and read that story in the book of Genesis again. When they say, why did you eat this fruit? It was not me. I was sitting down. The woman that you gave to me plucked it, opened my mouth. Now, I'm embellishing the excuse of Adam. But Adam had an excuse. What about Eve? Eve said, it was not me. It was a serpent. He deceived me and I ate. Each person had an excuse. But none was justified because of the excuse. Did you hear what I said? Each person had an excuse, but none was justified because of the excuse. By the time they finished, God said, well, I've heard what you have said. Now, because of this thing you have done, judgment began. Even the Lord admitted that the woman was deceived, yet he placed a curse upon her. Excuses don't cut it with God. Do you know why? He has already given us the power. He just said, you, get up and activate it. And he said, the activation is purely by what? Faith. Paul said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. Yet the same Paul now said, it has to be by faith that it might be in accordance with grace. Which means, even though it is by the grace of God I am what I am, I had to activate that grace by faith. One of the things I'm going to show us as we go on again is to remind us that life is always, always tickling us, say something. Pinching us, say something. Not stimulating us to say something. What you say is what decides whether you are walking by faith or you are not walking by faith. So that if they tell you things are going down outside, and then you open your mouth and say, this is a problem. This is a problem. I don't know why good Lord Jonathan will take $2.1 billion so that he will try to get re-election. Now he lost the election, see? Now we are now all suffering for it. I know we are all going to suffer. It is the suffering. It's our portion. What are we going to do? Nonsense. Now our children will suffer. Now they can't. You know, people open their mouth and be talking, you know, prophesying evil against their own offspring. That life is always provoking us to say something. Listen to me. One discipline of faith is never to say anything. One, that you don't desire. No, that's two. One, that's not in agreement with what God said. And two, that you don't desire. no matter what it looks like, your mouth is one place where you guard jealously. Go and read the story of Job again. Everybody was saying, let's hear what he will say with his mouth. Are you getting my point? Don't even whisper it in secret. If the thing is pressing you so hard, you have to say it. Kneel down and say, Lord, I want to confess my sin. I want to make a request. Somebody says, they tested you, your liver is bad, your kidney is bad, your heart is bad. They say, what do you think is going to happen? It looks like a man is going to die. If you don't want to die, don't say it. No matter how obvious it is, don't say it. Let them discuss amongst themselves. It must not come from your mouth. Why? Because God said to them in that Numbers chapter 12 and chapter 13, the story of Kadesh Barnea, he said, it is what I heard you say in my ears. That is what I will do to you. And let it not go on record that you testified against yourself. Ask any lawyer. The greatest evidence against you in court is what you said. That is why in a lot of countries in the world, they instruct people who have been arrested that they have a right to keep quiet. They call it, is it Miranda or Miranda right? What do Americans call it? Miranda right, yes. Because you know, once you open your mouth and say something, the policeman arresting you quotes it in court, that's it, you're done. So when you have been arrested, they tell you simply, you have the right to remain silent. That is, even though we are questioning you, just know you can refuse to answer. They are commanded. So that, and the reason, of course, let me not go into the legalities of it, but the point is that your mouth is so important, even men have discovered it. And don't ever forget what I said. I taught in that book, By Faith Acquire Life. I explained something that, listen, your life is on trial. Different aspect of your life is on trial. God is a judge. God is a father, but he's a judge. You are sick. Just wake up every morning and say, I will live, I will not die. At least when they are putting the evidence together, that is what you said. Why should you be working against yourself? I remember once, I was in Lagos. I was staying with my auntie. I was not feeling well one of those days. For a few days. So she said, what is wrong with you? I didn't answer them. And my auntie said, you know, these Christians, they will never admit they are sick. I said, hey, why were you asking me then? Why were you asking me? What is wrong with me? I am fine. How are you feeling? What does it matter? I like what the Smith Wigglesworth was reputed to have said. Somebody asked him, say, how are you feeling? He said, Smith Wigglesworth looked and said, I don't ask Smith how he feels. I tell him how he feels. They just asked him, hey, how are you feeling? He just paused and said, asking me? I don't ask myself how I feel. I tell myself how I feel. If I wake up in the morning and I'm feeling bad, I will get up and tell myself. That's what he was saying. Feel good. Today is not a day for bad feeling. You will feel good. It's an instruction. He gives it to himself. That is why I tell you, if you've ever greeted me, I created a habit deliberately. I will answer you, it is well with you. And those who are not wise, they say, and you too. Very foolish response. You tell somebody, God bless you, say, you too. When nobody say amen first, say, it is well with you, say, amen. Before you start, don't bounce the blessing back. What's your issue? When blessings are flowing, just grab it. Have you ever seen Abraham is blessing Isaac? Isaac say, and you too. Jacob is blessing his children. Say, Papa, you too. Listen, let me just say, somebody who is senior to you, who you respect, blesses you, don't bounce it back. Say amen and leave it there. Go and pray for him at home. I say, sir, we are praying for you that the Lord will keep you, sir. When I say, God bless you, tell him amen and we'll keep on going. Some people don't know. They bounce it back in your face. It's not a greeting. They think it's a greeting. Like white man say, how do you do? How do you do? You know? You know that's proper English greeting. How do you do? How do you do? Now, please, I'm looking at an issue here. All right? So in life, you talk to yourself. You guard your tongue because, listen, this is the emphasis. Life must be activated by faith. Everything is activated by faith. If the Lord promises something, it doesn't happen automatically. Somebody gets up and activates it by faith. He promised deliverance from Israel. Daniel had to get up and activate it by faith. He promised Isaac to Abraham. Abraham did not know all the faith we know now. He was the one that God took up as a pupil and began to teach him faith. So he taught him how to call himself Abraham. Say, from now on, your name is not Abram, exalted father. Your name is Abraham. What was he doing? He was teaching the man, activate your blessings by faith. Go and sacrifice his son. He told the mother, we are going. I and the lad will return. Activating by faith. Are you getting my point? Life is a battle. You hear me say it all the time, that old age is not a disease. It is not a disease. So it doesn't mean that if you are growing older, you will just be fine like that. The information I have given you from the Word of God, the information you have deciphered by yourself from reading the Scriptures, all right? Those things that you have read in Psalm 92, that he says that when they are old, they will be full of sap. Do you understand? He said the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is living in you and is giving life to your mortal bodies. You will wake up one morning and your joints will be paining you. And you will realize that, oh, you are middle age now. You are 50. So you now say that, okay, it's a disease of... So maybe you now go and see one of your friends, you know, my elbow has been paining me. He said, it's age. Don't worry. He said, is that so? Okay. So when you wake up next morning, my aged friend, how are you? That's what we do. So the elbow pain says that, well, since they like me in this house, why look for another house? So it stays there. That is wrong. How am I supposed to respond? Somebody says it is age. Say, no, it can't be age. The Word of God says, are you getting my point? The Word of God says, and then you activate it. That way, listen, these things are not spontaneous. That's what I'm going to emphasize. That is an activation by faith. He said, no. He said, I reject it. He said, what do you mean? You Christians, are always, yes, we always reject what God didn't give us. Let the pain, like, let it stay there for 1 year. For 1 year, you two, you will not agree. Let me ask you a question. Assuming you own a house and you have a tenant, didn't pay rent, you give him quit notice, he did not go, you will not say, okay, he has stayed there for long, it's not his house. No, think about it. You now say, this man has been here for the last 8 years, and he hasn't paid you rent for 5 years. Say, it's not his house. Say, how come it's his house? He's been staying here for 5 years. So let's just leave him. Do you do that? Let the court case take 10 years. You're on the case. One day you will win because it's your house. I love Americans. You won't even take 10 years. It takes a few weeks. The guy is out. But let's even assume the judicial system is slow. You will not say, okay, since you've now decided you are going to stay here, it's now your house. Somebody will say, how about your house in New Haven? My brother, Simeo, there is one Mr. Lagbaja. He's still there. I'm going to get him out. Say, yes, who's your lawyer? You mention, he's a good man. The matter is in court. Yes. It won't cross your mind to say, hey, he's been there for 6 years now. What are we going to do? Let's just leave him. No. You retain the fact that the house is, even though there's clear evidence, somebody is occupying it. And it's not going away. The same manner, let the pain stay somewhere. Say, listen, if you like, stay there forever. I will make sure you go. I will never agree that you belong. I hope you get my point. It's what you agree with we are talking about. So I will never agree that you belong. You don't belong. Is age? No. Start reading scripture. Say, yeah, it's age. No, you should understand. I say, no, my life is not lived by medical science. So my life is lived by the Word of God. Now you now start reading. Okay. What did they say in the book of Joshua chapter 14? The one we read last time. See, Caleb. Caleb was 85. The strength at 40 was the same at 45. Is that not what the Bible says? Let's read Psalm 92. It says, mark the righteous man, and I've been made righteous in Christ Jesus because of my faith. And because of that, listen, he said that even when I'm old, I will be full of sap. My body will be young. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. I said, look, this is my evidence.
When the Bible says faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Even though I'm not seeing the pain gone yet, the evidence that does not belong there is what's written in the scriptures. Yeah, but you have been believing for the last 1 year, it has not gone. He said, don't worry, if the tenant stays 2 years, he'll still go. Why? It is not his house. How do I know it's my house? I have evidence that I built it with my money. Or I bought it with my money. Or it was given to me by somebody. I have the evidence. What is that evidence? For us, is the word of God. No matter who is occupying the house currently, I have the evidence that that fellow does not belong and I will maintain my ground until he packs and leaves. The promises of God are activated. Even if God called you to ministry, listen to me this. You cannot use there was no money as the excuse for why you will not fulfill what God called you to do. If God, see, let me say something about ministry again. Ministry. It's only as if it's the preachers that have ministry. Everybody listening to me has a ministry. Did I hear an amen? Whether you are doing your ministry or not is another story. Some have their ministry, they packed it up. They've gone to find a job somewhere else. And their ministry is suffering. Yes. You know, one of my sisters called me. I called her yesterday and we had a nice chat. We had a nice chat on the phone. In fact, it was from the office here. She was telling me some things that they learned in mission school. And by the time she finished speaking, I said, this is exactly what I say that Christians must bear in mind. That there are two sides to it. What she was saying is that, listen, it taught them that every Christian must have a mission. That is, something that you are doing. Maybe, she gave a few examples, which many of us can easily relate with. Like now, you may be helping a group of people that are destitute, and every day you get up, you make sure you do something for those people. So everybody must have something that they are doing to bless people on the earth. This is not a church, you know that. You know what it is? Let's forget humility that is not of God. Let's talk the truth. This is my ministry. There's no, how can you say my is our own? It's not our own. You understand my point? Now, your own ministry can be here also. Now, get what I'm saying? You go and define it. Where you are, you can say, Pastor Banks, forget that one. This is my own. I don't know whether you're getting my point. It can be your ministry to make sure, because there are people that I may not know them, God said there are ministries that make sure that guy does not go mad. Pray for him every day. So I asked them, I say, it's my ministry. They are saying, you, Pastor Banky, you are my ministry. You just don't know. I don't know whether you are getting my point. That you are my ministry. Every day I'm looking at you, I'm kneeling down. The way I've seen the contour of your head, people like you have this problem. So God has raised me up to ensure that you don't use that problem to spoil anything. You are getting what I'm saying? That is what they call ministry. Everybody, what's a ministry? Anything that you are doing as an assignment from God. Something committed to your hands, which if you don't do, we can't guarantee that somebody else will do it. One of the reasons, you know, for a long time, can we digress for a moment? They just help people, all right? One of the reasons why, when I started ministry, they say, do church. I said, no. And one of my understandings is this. The reason behind Kingdom World Ministry is that there is a gift of God. There's an understanding of the scriptures that God has given me. You understand? I have to just express it. That's what it's about. And my own theory is that every Christian should be able to participate without being fully committed to the ministry. I don't know whether I get my point. Because when it's a church, we expect commitment. If we call a meeting, if you're a member of the church, you must be there. Otherwise, you should be disciplined. But if it's a gift of God, I just want to manifest. Do you follow? It is okay with me if most people who come just come and they go. And they don't contribute anything. They don't do anything. They don't even give money. In all honesty, I honestly don't care. Why? Because it is about just do what I told you to do. I will raise people up to support you. Are you getting my point? So you hear once in a while I call co-workers meeting. And we hold the meeting at odd times. 8 a.m. on Saturdays. Those who want to come, they come.
those who believe that, yes, I have a ministry to perform in helping this man. You are getting my point. Now, why I just wanted to explain the principle there. Forget the fact that I'm a preacher. Everybody has a ministry. It is not always preaching. I just want to emphasize that. Some people, their ministry is stop working where somebody is paying you. Go and start a business because I want you to be able to employ people between the age of 18 and 25. Many of them, their parents will not be able to pay so that they can go to school. I want them to be able to work part-time. And you and them must generate the resources that will help them get educated without too much stress. And for you, it's a ministry. If you go and get ordination as a pastor, you will die young. If that's your ministry, they go and post you to one branch and you are there preaching morning, afternoon, and night. Meanwhile, God says, see, there are 500 young boys and young girls. Six of those girls are going to start following sugar daddies. I will hold you responsible. Five of those boys will join cults. If anyone dies, you are in trouble. Why? Because they ordained you and you were foolish enough to accept it, thinking it's a superior calling. You know, the one that makes me like, people now go and buy sticker and put it on their car, dicking. Have you seen that? It is the height of foolishness. It's not a title, dicking. People will be lobbying for that title. They will travel kilometers to Lagos to go and get ordained by a man that does not know that they are there. Anybody ordaining you doesn't know your name. He didn't ordain you, he's deceiving you. You should be ordained by people that know you, that can swear by your calling. They will leave the job that God gave them. Some people, I will say it. Praise the Lord. What I'm about to say, balance it very well. I want to talk about money small. Amen. Every Christian must be generous. Amen.
Amen.
Every Christian must support the work of God. Amen.
Amen.
It's a free will offering. Amen.
Amen.
All right. You give the way you like, but you should be generous. But I want to say something. Balance this one well. You know, some people have given us offering, money God gave them to go and start the business. And God will now punish them for it. They don't know. Because look at this idiot. I said, go and start a cassava processing farm. Your pastor hired one mercenary and he collected the offering. And he now said, God, I will multiply it. I will multiply your punishment. Is the purpose for which we do things that actually matter for us as believers? If you saw that cassava processing plant as a mission from God, nobody is collecting it from you. Say, God said to me today, 500 people are going to give 1 million. He said, I gave it to God since. And God said, we should buy milling machine. You see, what we call altar in Christianity, it doesn't exist though. This is a platform. It's only raised up so that Israel can film me properly. Those of you who came here those days, you know that it was on the ground. It was when television camera came. We bought cameras. I said, how do we film Blackie over the head of other people? That was when they elevated this place. There's no altar here. As for this mahogany, it is so, it's true. Let's say these things now. We sometimes we don't know whether we are doing Obatala worship, Judaism. We don't even know the one we are doing. So you build the house of God. That thing is not the house of God. It's a hall that's big enough for all of us to meet. I love one pastor. I don't know him personally, but I know his friend in Lagos. Every Saturday, the church, they collect their paper. They rent out the church for wedding. On Sunday, they clean the place. Let's worship the Lord. Amen. The man doesn't waste. He doesn't do program on Saturday mornings. Why should he do program on Saturday morning when there's wedding coming up? The man don't. The guy don't give jam. Say, see hall. Say this hall is good for wedding. So it's advertised. People come. I know it's Lagos. drop serious paper, half a million. Everybody here? When you finish doing Oruka, they will clean the place when you go home. On Sunday, the place is back to anointing. So the man doesn't have financial, he can pay his staff, pay himself, pay everybody. That once they build that building, they say the Lord is good. Listen to me. No, we must learn Christianity. We must learn Christianity. Any building you see, in fact, the more a building looks like a church, the more ungodly it is. A good church, I listened to David Pawson. He said he does church design. And he's a preacher. So he said the architecture is his hobby. He designed chairs for people to sit down on. Why? He said because if people are not comfortable, they can't listen for long. So he designed a chair where if you're in his church, you can sit for 4 hours at a stretch. You won't feel tired. And they patented the design. He designed it because he's used to preaching and he hates people shuffling around when he's talking. He said, why do they shuffle? The seats are not comfortable. So they sat down and designed. He designs the church so that from wherever you are, whether you're at the back or in front, you hear him well. He says the idea of one man in front and everybody's at the back is based on idol worship. I'm not talking about what Christianity is. Listen. Let me say something about money again. I was talking about money. We need to balance this in for Christians. Those days, I got counsel from one or two people. I have one in mind. He said that you should be having services on Sundays. I said, why? He said, so that people will not take... He said, people are not loyal. He said, why? He said, because they will take your money. He said, they will listen to you free of charge. Then they'll go to church on Sunday and pay tithe there and give offerings. So that I should start service on Sunday morning so I can collect it. Was a senior person, so I couldn't argue. But what I said to myself, which you've heard me say again and again, I said, there is no money that belongs to Kingdom Word that will go anywhere else. If you carry it there, you will pay it back double. I will not change my arrangement because of anybody's money. Is human beings the source of my supplies or God from heaven? I said, I'm not changing my arrangement for anybody. If you don't want to give, leave it. And for goodness sake, if you're a member of a church, you understand, which I believe most of us here are, all right? If you're going to church, yes, you give them money too. We're not fighting over money. A friend of mine is a minister in one of these Orthodox churches. I won't tell you which one. He said, they started preaching, you know, this first fruit in January, everything. They started preaching it, which, you know, I've told you before, is not of God. It's a lie. You know, so... Listen, if you want to give, give. I want to digress again for 2 minutes. The principle of first fruit is just that you acknowledge God with the first expenditure you make. Do you understand? That's just the principle behind it. It's not collect your whole January salary and it has nothing to do with that, all right? Pastors do it this day just to get more money. It's an institutionalized way of collecting as much as possible from Christians. That is what it is. There's no spirituality in it. There's no blessing in it. There is nothing in it. Hear it, I say boldly as a servant of God. There's no blessing special in it. The only thing in it is that we pastors arrange it so as to get more from people. Don't think of as long as people, some people, there are two groups of people. Some know, some are ignorant. All right, so let's leave that. So my friend said, he went to some of their clergymen and said, when did you start preaching first fruits? You know what the pastor told him? The reverend. The reverend said, because it's an Orthodox church, that our people go to all these Pentecostal churches and they go and pay the money there. So we have to preach it so we can collect it. It's not whether it's true or false. It's more of, this paper is moving anyhow. Let's redirect it.
you know, the problem I have sometimes is that I feel bad I pollute some of your ears. Some of you are so innocent, you think all pastors are angels. So when you hear me talk, you find out the truth and you are disappointed. Even Pastor Banky, I don't trust you. Please don't trust me. Just trust the word of God. Anything I say, just check the scriptures if it is there like that. Anyway, I know you trust me anyway because I'm saving you money. I'm saving you harassment. I'm saving you. I'm saving you guilt. Yes. And by the time you finish listening to me, you'll be so generous. Yeah, you'll be a generous person. You see, as we're going to talk about financial faith, you'll see it. You'll be a generous person. Your relatives will love you. Your pastor will love you. That is, unless he's greedy. He will love you. Your neighbors will love you. Your father will love you. Your friends will love you. Because you'll be very generous. I had a friend once, another of our friends said that, what does he do with all his money? He said, maybe he carries it to church. That's a bad testimony. Because he couldn't buy somebody a Coke. He couldn't help a needy person. He couldn't. So another of our friends now said that, how come this guy never has money? And the person asking me knew how much he earned. They worked in the same place. He said, I'm sure he carries all his money to church. That's a bad testimony. It's a bad testimony. All right? So let me just say that thing I was saying. I know why I digressed into all of that. So sometimes, people don't realize. Listen, let's get it clear. Christian, oh God, I'm not talking about money. I had not planned to talk about money today. I will see whether I can get back to where my message was supposed to start from. Now, let me just say something briefly again before I go back to where I was about Christianity and money. A Christian is supposed to be faithful in finances. He does not do, God, let me give you something so you can multiply it. We don't do it. That's not Christianity. Listen, like I said when we were praying on Tuesday, I remember I handed out tracts. These are our small tracts, pieces of paper that we give out free to students on campus. And you notice how God stimulates people's hearts. And one student looked at it and said, I'm sure this is costing him money. Other people are collecting. His own is that, hi, this guy is spending money. First time he gave us money was 1,000 naira because he said, these guys are spending money. 10 years later, he gave us 1,000,000 naira. As a student, I didn't have money. But his own was that, these guys are spending money. So when God gave him, when God began to bless him and opened a door of opportunity. Now, I'm not going to say something. You see, that's how Christians reason. It's about, this is, you understand? It's about compassion. It's about love. It's about concern. It's not let me give so that God will give me something back. No. Christians, we are faithful. Somebody say amen. Same brother the other day, he was just telling me, he said, I bought my father a car. I knew I had done it before. I said, he told me the model. I said, that's a very nice car. He said, why? He said, because I heard that I call him, says it's the mechanic. I call him, it's the mechanic. He said, at his age, he shouldn't be going to mechanic. So let him dash somebody the other car. He bought another one, sent to him. It wasn't letting me sow into my father's life. No. He's like, why is he going to mechanic? Why should he be going to mechanic if I can prevent that from happening? Are you getting my point? That's our Christian's reason. With money, we are faithful people. We don't sow seeds. I don't want to use the word give, Seb. We just care. Yes, I like that word. We just care. And we don't put ourselves in front. We know that literally these things of the world are the things of this world. I shouldn't spend money on luxury when there are critical things that I'm supposed to affect. Some of them may not necessarily depend on me, but I can affect those things positively. Just guy, you'll be wasting money anyhow. I said, no, let me do this. I'm going somewhere. Now, I know where I began this from. I'm talking about ministry. You understand? Everybody has a ministry. So for Christians, this is what we do with money. We apportion money appropriately. We apportion money appropriately. And we put our faith in God. I'm going to talk about this financial faith. We put our faith in God. And then we apportion money appropriately. What I mean by appropriately? The Bible says there is seed for the sower and there's bread for food. I prioritize properly. Let me give you an example. No matter how happy I feel, no matter how much I desire to see Dubai, if I've not paid my children's school fees, does it make sense for me to buy an airplane ticket to go and see Dubai? So I pay my children's school fees first. There are things also that may not be my children's school fees, may have to do with the preaching of the gospel. I told you, one day a brother came, I never met him, he didn't come, called us on the phone. He said, this thing pastor is preaching, I want them to hear it in my state. So he travels to his state, negotiated with the radio station, talking with Inka all the while. So Inka said, how long did you pay for? He said, I paid for the whole year so that I won't have to remember. Why? He said, my people should hear it. Give them money for one complete year and walked away. You see what I'm talking about, Christianity? So for him, it's like, this is important. It's not about, have I shown the shade? No, this is important. We Christians are like that. We have to learn to prioritize by faith. When I say by faith, is that faith is not just about I'm claiming. No, faith, I'll talk about it. Faith is I'm responsible. I said, both in Hebrew and in Greek, there is no difference between the word faith and faithfulness. There's no difference. It's the same word that sometimes they call faith, other times they call faithfulness. That's why God said, when I'm talking about increase of his kingdom, that's why God was angry with the Israelites at the time. He said, all of you ran to build your panel houses, emphasis on panels, luxury. It was not as if, I wasn't saying you shouldn't have a house. I'm just saying you are building panel houses when the house of God was lying in ruins. Panel houses. You are doing POP ceiling, granite tiles, jacuzzi in your bathrooms. Yet, the neighbor, your village has not heard the gospel. I go say, which kind of madness is this? Last time you went home, you saw a young man there preaching the gospel. He's the only person that came to your area to come and tell them the truth. And you know, there are some kinds of encouragement that is very ungodly. You walk up to the young man and shake his hand and say, oh, you mean you came from Lagos and came to this, our small place? God bless you. Hallelujah. Hey, we are praying for you. Honestly, I'm looking for words for you. Okay, I'm trying to be nice. This is, let me summarize. You're very wicked. Why should you be praying for him? Leave prayer for other people. This work has been shared out. They are prayer warriors. They are yet not very rich. If they have too much money, they won't pray effectively. So God keeps them. No. I know what I'm saying. Some people that always pray, God says, leave that one to pray. If he leaves the house, he'll cause trouble. Leave him there to pray. So God removes transport money, removes DSTV money, removes, he has nothing else to do but pray. So be praying there. But you're not a prayer warrior. You're a cash warrior. Before you criticize people, make sure you have done your portion.
Yes, sir.
Before you criticize, do your portion. Listen, let me quickly give you a word of God to prevent you from being judged. Before you open your mouth and say, all these pastors, all they are looking for is money, make sure you are giving some of them money. Before you open your mouth and talk that nonsense. Otherwise, you are bringing for judgment for yourself. Because if a man is hungry, he's clear in the scriptures, he will steal. Many pastors are stealing because they are hungry. I'm not saying stealing is right, but don't participate in making them hungry. So that young man has come to your village to come and do ministry. And you discover that he's there. What you need is not to go and donate money in another idol center. So that they can announce on Sunday, our son came from Lagos, he gave us 1 million, everybody clean our car. Oh, you. This is why your car would just knock on the Onitsha Bridge. His anger. God, people think God doesn't get angry. He does. He doesn't like getting angry, but occasionally will provoke him to anger. He's slow to anger. So it will take you, he will have driven for 8 hours before he blows the gasket. Slow to anger. Because if he was quick to anger, he would burn that car in front of your church in the village. He looked at the young man and said, what do you need? I mean, the young man left the comfort of the city and to come and preach to your community. Where do you live? You see it? No, you can do this place better. You buy him a new bed, do a few things. Say, please, oh, if you need anything, let me know. Meanwhile, just sort him out in a little way. So at least when the man gets up in the morning to preach, he knows God is with him. That's how we Christians behave. That's why we don't need anybody to come and be coming and say, baby, using gimmicks to get money out of our pockets. That's what I'm just trying to explain to believers. Let's get it. Let's get it clear. I know why I went into all of that. Listen, I was saying something earlier. In the same manner, if we see our lives as a mission, if God gives you, maybe he opens a door for you. You know, some people will be tithing on bank loan. You took bank loan, now you are paying tithe on it. You know, some people behave so stupidly. Bank gives you loan and you pay a tithe on it. Are you mad? You know, idolatry. You know, they just believe that. I mean, they give you advance work for contract. You got a contract for 50 million naira. They paid you advance 10 million. You tithe on it. You are stupid. Is it your money? One young man came here. This was years ago. I was sitting here. He was having problems. He and his father, trouble. So he finished talking. Finally, I said, oh boy, come. I suspect you use your school fees to do crusade in the village. He said, yes, sir. I said, you should go to a jail. The boy looked at me. Are you a real man of God? You know, he didn't say it to the boy in his face. I said, if you're a civil servant, you will be arrested and tried for misappropriation of funds. I said, do you work? He said, no. Who gave you the money? He said, my father. I said, your father sent you to the bossa. Is that not so? I said, like me, give you money now. Please, let me go to the bookshop and buy Triumphant Church by Kenneth Hagin. You reach road. See one man preaching, praise the Lord. Somebody give an offering right now. Say, sir, I was moved. Now I give her your offering. Your money. Listen. As for giving to that man, I have no problem. But my money. I don't know. You know, Christians, you know the problem they have? They believe that if a man of God doesn't bless that money, it will not prosper. That is idolatry. What's wrong with you kneeling down in your house and asking God's favor on your business? Now, this is something I didn't say. You know that when we hear them, they say, hey, you don't want Christians to give. Only if you want to defraud them. That's when you have a problem with what I'm saying. I believe that Christians should give. I believe that one day I will sit down and over the course of about 24 months, 12 people will hand me 1 billion naira each for the preaching of the gospel. I believe it. Brethren like you, they give. I believe totally in it. That is the work of God. It's the will of God. We keep TBN to stay on air at the time they were spending $1 million every day to preach the gospel. It's not free. It's not cheap. I believe Christians should be givers. However, they should not be idolaters. They should not think that if a man of God does not collect a portion of my money, it will not increase. They should be faithful. They should be generous. They should locate what God gave them to do and they should do it. The fact is, listen, the responsibility for sustaining the preaching of the gospel relies on all of us, but some people carry a higher weight of it than other people. Tony Baker said something the other day. I was watching him on TV. I was impressed. He said the first 1 million naira he made in the 80s, not today, in the 80s, naira was still exchanging for like between 1 and 4 naira to the dollar. I'm not sure I reached 10 naira at that time. So the first 1 million naira he made, he gave out everything. He said, God, this is the first time I'm making a millionaire. That's what I'm talking about, first fruits, you know? Just, oh, it's my first time of making a million. Give out everything. By himself. Christians are givers. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
But I'm just explaining a principle here. We're not afraid. Nobody's forcing us to do anything. We have our faith in God, and we are responsible, and we apportion things appropriately. Please go and read my book, Grace to Prosper and How to Work for God. Now, I want everybody to read it. Please, read How to Work for God and Grace to Prosper. I explain these things inside. How we Christians handle money. Let me summarize it. There's food, seed for the sower, and there's bread for food. What is seed for the sower? Any money you give out that you don't consume. That's what we call seed for the sower. God gives seed for the sower and bread for food. Any money that God gives to you, that's how it comes. Seed for the sower is the one you give out. It includes the one you give for the preaching of the gospel. You give to a ministry. You give to a preacher. You give to your pastor. That's part of seed for the sower. But God is not only in those people. It includes the one you use to help the needy. You must help people who are needy. Every Christian must do that. You must honor your parents. I don't care whether your father is Dangote or not. You should be eating one day and say, this one came from my son. He should finish dressing up, look at himself in the mirror, and say, my son put this one on me. I don't care how rich he is. Every Christian does that and does it regularly. I don't care. That is, even if your father is Otedola, when you are going home, you don't go empty-handed. It is only children that are not planning to be blessed by God that only go to their parents to collect. Every time, collect. Say, why? My father is rich. You know what you have said? His son is poor. That is you. You prophesy poverty. Say that, my father, I will never reach his level. You finish school, you're working, and every time you go home, you still grab. You don't take something when you are going and say, daddy, we brought this one from Enugu. Mommy, we brought this one from Enugu. Say, but I don't have. Go and buy mangoes and take home. Buy pineapples. That your small money, your father must eat from it if you want it to grow. Yes. And there's bread for food. What is bread for food? Bread for food is that you too, you must eat. You are walking, your shirt is torn. What's wrong with you? Buy a new one. Stop walking around as if the problems of this earth are only on your head. No, it's not right. That shirt you are buying is the work of God. I hope you are getting my point. Don't think as if, no, this one is not. It is the work of God. If you don't wear a decent shirt, the Lord will be unhappy with you. It is important to him that you eat as much as it is important to him that you give. It's seed for the sower and bread for food. That's how we Christians spend money. And we are not afraid of tomorrow. You have not eaten today. And some people are funny. You are owing your landlord, you haven't paid. You said you are saving for the rainy day. So owing your landlord, you don't think it's raining. That is a snowy day, in case you don't know. It's more than raining. Snow is falling. Please, I hope you are getting my point. We are not afraid of tomorrow. Economic hardship doesn't scare us. People say, save up for your children's education. I don't believe a word of it. If I walk by faith and I walk with God, if God has to create universities for each of my children separately, he will. That's what faith is about. I leave tomorrow in his hands. Oh God, I hope you have been blessed. At least you are getting some clarification. If you have questions, ask me after, I will answer. Trust me, I will. But please don't misunderstand what I'm saying. Now, I went to all of this, I know where I began from. I wasn't emphasized to us that each person has what? A ministry, yes. All of us must see our jobs, our lives, I wanted to say, as a ministry. Now, where I went on the tangent and I began to talk about money, was I made a statement. There are times God will give you money. Say, this 5 million naira used to open that cassava processing plant. If you give offering from it, me and you will have problems. So. Did you hear what I said? God will say to you simply, I have priced it. This is the price of the miller. Is that what they call the milling machine? The conveyor belt, the pressing one, the incubator for the this one for that. Total is 4.1. 900,000 is for installation and salaries for the first 3 months. That one, unless somebody is near death, you don't give him a dime from that money. Why? He said, the fellow, give me time. When this thing starts producing, all of us will eat it. I like what the pastor Bodges said once. He said, many pastors have collected the economic advancement of their members as offerings. They have made the people give by force. Now everybody is poor. Everybody is now broke. Not because God can't multiply money, but the means by which he wanted to multiply it, they have eaten it. They should have been patient. They should have just waited and said, okay, don't worry. Expand that your workshop. Yeah, mechanic, expand the workshop. One of my friends, a pastor in Aba, a man came to see him for prayer. He said he was looking through the window. He saw them arranging money. Money is good, amen? If you give me an offering, believe me, I'll pray extra for you. Yeah, I'm being honest. But when the man came to see him because he was broke. So when he finished counseling the man, he now brought they now brought out money to give him. He looked at the envelope, said, don't worry. He told the man, listen, okay, I'm lending you the money. Go and use it to do. He said, when your business has increased, you can bring money. That time I'll collect it. Because he had heard the man's story, he knew the man was broke. But the man just believed that for you to collect blessing, you must drop money. That's why God, Elijah, looked at the time, Elisha, and looked at Gehazi. He said, is it the time? Everything has a time. He knew this boy was owing people. His business was upside down. That's why he needed prayer, needed counsel. He's still looking for money to pay me up. There are times as a preacher, you say, no, don't bother. Listen, there's no hard and fast rule about these things. We just have to learn as Christians to trust in God and be generous. Then you will use your spiritual sense to know what is right and what is not right. I've been to places before. I remember one place I went once. I think my wife and I went together. The fellows were trying to raise money. When I heard the money, what they were raising money for. So they had given me paper to give this. So one boy now came to me afterwards. That, where's the paper? I said, I'm not releasing it. That way I was supposed to write my pledge. I said, I'm not releasing it. The lady happened to somebody that I know. Ah, Pastor, I said, my friend, will you get away from there? I was so angry that people gathered on a day like this and I had to raise money to maybe look for something very foolish to give an illustration. And I'm supposed to, and good money, I don't know what, in today's day now, imagine somebody looking for 2 million naira on a Sunday morning because the next church has a banner bigger than their own. So they want to get a bigger banner. What I'm going to say is that, is it right, is it wrong? Maybe it is right, but for me it was wrong and I won't give you a dime for it. Listen, you cannot give your money to what you don't believe in, you won't be blessed. I don't care who the man is there multiplying money. If you can't understand what it is he wants to do with money and your heart is with it, where your heart does not go, your money should not be found there. Listen, you are a custodian. God kept that money in your hand. He expects you to use it wisely. He holds you responsible for how it is used while it's in your hands. After it has left your hand, it's a different matter. For example, if you give Kingdom World money, and I decide that when you are not looking, Israel, me, Felix, you know, okay, Muti uncle, we'll go downstairs and buy Indian hemp. You are still blessed, amen? Why? Because when you were giving the money, you thought you wanted to use it to preach. You understand my point? So beyond that one, it doesn't concern you anymore. I'm not saying, you understand? But before that point, if I say, guys, I feel iry, somebody buy me cocaine, and you sow. Are you getting my point? Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yes,
that's what I mean by that. Now, like I said, I've said all of these things. I hope you are following me, Sha. I hope you are following me. Now, I said all of this, I'm going to emphasize something. All of us have what? A ministry. And for some of us, that ministry is go out, start a business. It is not about be rich. It is about go out, start a business. Why? Because if you do, all these boys who are lazing around, causing trouble, they will have work to do. And if you stir up another heart like yours, another business starts down the road, more boys, girls are there working. If you start, before you know what's happening, we will take 100,000 people off the unemployment market and government will not even know anything about it. You know, the other day, one of my brothers went for a meeting. So he told me that, I think I made a statement, or he made a statement. How many of you know Dangote? Aliko Dangote. Alaji Aliko Dangote. Emphasis on Alaji. So he said that he was watching TV. Okay, he asked me whether I watched a TV program. I said no. That he saw Dangote, the film at the refinery that they are building in Ekpe in Lagos. $16 billion. He said that when he saw the man's face, that he had compassion on him. I don't know whether I get the point. That you could see the nationalism in his face. That the man wants this thing to work. Building a refinery that will be the singular largest in the world. The capacity is more than what Nigeria can consume. A fertilizer plant is attached. He said, sir, I pray for him. I said, oh, you too. I said, I also pray for him. I pray that he will give his life to Christ. That's very good. But honestly, my prayer started with, he will not die, but live and finish the refinery. You know, he was in Mali. The day before that, the terrorists attacked a particular hotel. The moment the blast went off, people did not know he had left. All the bank MDs in Nigeria were fasting and praying. I was not there, but I just imagined. Everybody was panicking. Now I'm imagining. But everybody was concerned. Stock market, go feel and small, say, no, don't buy any stock yet. We don't know whether Aliko is alive or dead. The man to calm the economics, that's the business environments, not only in Nigeria, in Africa, and certain parts of Europe and America, he had to quickly go on Twitter and say, I was in the hotel, but I left a day before the bomb blast. Thank God, you know, everybody was relieved. That's not my story. My story is now is one of our brothers told me, say, Oga, have you ever heard that such a man died? I began to think, true. They know they die. Oh. Now, politicians, they win election in the morning, die for afternoon. Now, politicians. You are winning election, you will now die inside. You have to be a politician. He's a musician and actor that will just take plane, they won't come down. That's just for musicians. People who are creating jobs, no. God said, wait, I can send you to hellfire later, but right now, you ain't going to die. Are you getting my point? God said, no, you can't die yet. God looks and says, you are blessing more people than most of my children. What am I telling the story? God wants all of us to have an area of life that we are affecting people. Some God say, look, I've given you this money. I'm not saying you don't give up, but this one is give to the man that manufactures equipment. The people who fabricate, go and meet them. Design something, let them fabricate. Then bring it back and start milling my cassava. Can you imagine? Do you know how many combined harvesters are in Nigeria? Don't say it outside. 8. The whole of Nigeria has 8 combined harvesters. 8. It's an embarrassment. And the Maiduguri people were bragging that they have 5 out of the 8. So if you remove Maiduguri, the rest of Nigeria has 3 combined harvesters. God said, at least some of my children, you go to Benue State and buy land and buy combined harvesters. God says to some people, go and gather money. How do the people in Thailand produce rice and there's not one grain of sand? They will ship you a 100 container loads of rice and there will not be one grain of sand. Why? No, that's, see this, are you getting my point? So we don't realize that these are mission questions. Why is it that when it's locally produced, a huge chunk of it is stone? The ones in Thailand, were they harvested by spirits? Were they processed by angels? God says, why won't my children just ask why? That's what we're talking about. That's what we're talking about. And if I give one of you money to go and answer why, that is the church I want you to build. When you have employed and empowered young men, young women, and empowered the farmers in that area, processing their rice for them, then you can build all the churches you want. That's what God is saying. I hope you're getting my point. I'm not saying Christians you don't give. No. But I'm saying we should be responsible. Everybody has what? A ministry. Remember, I know where I began from. I want to close now. Where did I begin from? We activate and fulfill our ministries by what? Faith. Thank you. We activate and fulfill our ministries by faith. I must never forget to drop this one because there are doctors here and our doctors are listening to me. It is a mission, it is a ministry goal to say Nigerians won't go to India for medical treatment again. Yes. And God says, activated by what? Faith. Activated by faith. Listen. See this economic downturn that's happening in Nigeria. What I want to tell you, I'm a bit sure of it. I'm going to call a prophet later in the day and get some clarification on this. Actually, a prophet talked to me yesterday and told me something. So I want to clarify and say, do you think this is what the problem is? That God said in Ezekiel chapter 22, I'm about to cut off from Jerusalem both the righteous and the wicked. Let me get the scripture. I think it's Ezekiel 22 or 21. It said, I'm about to cut off from the righteous, from Jerusalem, both the righteous. Yes, 21. And she was saying to me that, listen, if the church of God doesn't do what they are supposed to do, both the people that think they are obeying God and the ones that they think are disobeying God, all of them will suffer together. That this was a word from God. I now began to ask, okay, in what area? Was trying to explain something to me. I said, okay, we'll talk later. I plan to call back and say, please. Because what came to my spirit immediately was that it's a financial problem that the Lord wants to release on everybody. God listened to my message I preached last year. Increase his kingdom. God said, why? I need to discipline these people. When I prosper them small, what do they do with their money? With all these years of prosperity, we should have stopped importation of many things. When God gave us money, all we did was to send our children to expensive schools abroad, fly our whole family for holidays here and there. You will see people buy Italian furniture when it is inferior in strength to the Nigerian one. They want to be able to say, it's Italian. Vanity upon vanity. And the church joined. What am I going to say? You know what God was doing when he was prospering people? He said, why don't you go and ask the Italian which machine he uses to sew his leather? Take it as a mission. Are you getting what I'm going to say? To bring such a machine down and sew your own leather like that. Is that not what the Indians did? The boys gathered money. They are doctors in the US, they are doctors in the UK. They went back home and built the best hospitals. Now, for Nigerians to do training, how many months did you spend in India? 6 months. I'm saying this is a look, we will understand that this is what they call mission. You know what, are you getting my point? And you have a duty to activate your mission in life by faith. So when God waited for us for 10 years, he said, these boys are not doing anything with the money I gave them. So what do you do? Crash the price of oil. Make their dollar, make their naira worth 400 to $1. Maybe they will learn. Because when I prospered them, what they did was chop life. The ones that I gave the assignment, create industries, flying all over the world, feeling very happy. Build businesses. He said, no, this one I have can take care of my children and schools in the United States, so I can pay for them. Because look at you, I'm going to injure somebody. I said, build businesses. Employ 10,000. Make it unnecessary for your nation to import anything in your area. No. He said, you know, Nigeria is a very difficult country. I said, activate protection for your life by faith. Activate increase by faith. One of the reasons why faith is weak. Oh God, I didn't even start. Do you know the truth? I didn't read one line of what I planned to read today apart from the scripture. Because I wanted to emphasize something. One of the reasons, this is the first thing I'm picking from the thing I plan to preach today. One of the reasons why faith has been weak for us is because our faith is only, most of us pastors teach it on how to use it to get. You sow a seed so you can get. You don't understand that you can sow a seed so you can sow. There are two levels to seed sowing in that regard. Level one, sow, and that's it. Sow. That's the end. You have given, you're forgetting it. Secondly, you sow, that's the second level, so that God can multiply the seed for further sowing. Is that not what he says? No, read it in your Bible, 2 Corinthians. He said, God will multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. Chapter 9. That is, we don't understand. No, we often use our faith only for grab, grab, grab. Faith is also used for give, give, give. That's why, you know how poor people reason? People who are poor, in pocket, in brain, most importantly, when their minds are poor, they look at like a man, the Dangote, they say, he's building a refinery for 16 billion. These rich people are never satisfied. They're always looking for more. Just know a man who has been encased, his brain is an encasement of poverty. No expansion for the mind. That is his core. It's an encasement for poverty. The mind cannot expand. You don't realize that if Dangote builds a refinery for 16 billion, as at last year, 30% of the forex need of Nigeria, 30% was for importation of refined products. If Nigeria spent $3 billion, $1 billion was used to import petrol and kerosene and diesel. That's why the man who builds you a refinery, you pray for him. Direct and indirect, these refineries are supposed to generate 10 or 50,000 jobs. Both directly and indirectly. And do you know, you see a pauper in mind. Saying that, they're rich, what are they looking for? They are never satisfied. Some people can criticize Bishop Oyedepo all you want. You can criticize him from now to tomorrow. A man that decides to build 4 universities will live long in Jesus' name. You hear people criticizing all these men of God? All these men of God? May God correct you on the earth. May he not bring you to heaven to correct you face to face. And you see men like Bishop Oyedepo say, no, put Covenant University there. Put Landmark in Kwara State. Give me Crown University in Cross River. I told my friend, I said, please, get me the account number of Crown University. I must put something inside. We all have a mission. We all have a mission. And it's not only those of us who are pastors. That's what I'm going to emphasize. That's what I'm going to emphasize. And we see it as a mission. It's not about what numbers am I looking for. Listen, my friend, Who's talking about what you are looking for? We are looking for what you were created to give. That by the time you finish, say, okay, all the Nigerians that used to go for surgery abroad in this area, they don't go anymore. Why? I built a hospital in Enugu. Every day you look at it, you ensure that the thing is working. There's an institutionalized inefficiency. It's a Nigerian problem. My message is that if you think Buhari will change it, you drank something. That's my message. When they were arresting Dasuki, this man from Benin, I forgot one of these big-time lawyers. Very elderly, old man now. I think so. They said that Buhari's fight is lopsided. He said no, that Buhari is not yet fighting corruption. He's clearing the road so he can see the corruption. That this is just, let's clear the road so we'll know who's corrupt and who's not. You're waiting for him to fix the hospital? The amount of roadblocks. Now they talk. No, I'm saying this. God says, listen. There are enough people that I am raising that can build places twice as big, twice as efficient. No, not twice. 100 times as efficient as UNTH. But they are taking time to dig in and going for a conference, church conference. That's what I'm talking about. They don't realize that they have to activate it by what? Faith. They have to say, no, I'm going to the US. I'm not going to Europe. Here, I will build something that until I start getting referrals from outside Nigeria, I won't be satisfied. People say, can Nigerians pay? Who's paying in India? Spirits? God said, activate it by faith. Not everybody can believe God for healing. Some of them are going to have their brain tumors. Forget it. I just want somebody to build something where they can go and have it removed. They have money. They don't have to suffer like this. That's God said. That's mission. Listen, when you see people like Bishop Oyedepo, be blessing God for their lives. Just listen, for a moment, in your mind. One morning I went out in the morning, and I happened to drive around New Haven, many places. I saw the number of private schools in Enugu in the morning, you know. So I just imagined that, let's assume for a moment, we have to wait for government to build these schools. Do you know what, Calab, do you know the chaos you are talking about? Enugu has over 200 private schools. Oh, it's 300. You think Nigerian government can manage that? They can't. Listen, thank God for people like Covenant University, for Bishop Oyedepo, who built Covenant, who built Landmark, who's building Crown University. Bless men like that. Pray for them. That's what I'm saying. And I'm saying you, build the thing you are supposed to build. I don't know whether you're getting my point. That's what I'm saying. Build your cassava processing plant, your rice processing plant, your iron smelting plant, whatever it is, build. Build a hospital that is not about, I want to make money. No. It's about, no, there is no reason. Do you know? You know what they call it? Don't let me depress you further. I'm not depress you further. People will be traveling for 200 kilometers to come and have an MRI scan. In the U.S., every cottage hospital has one. And buying one is cheaper than some of the cars we drive. At least a small one. A used one. There are times you shouldn't buy a particular car. Buy a machine. That's what I'm saying. But my message is what? Activated by faith. It's not about grabbing for yourself to say, this life, oh, I must create something. Touch my nation, touch my environment, and it's an activation by faith. I hope you've gotten my point. Let's bow down our heads and let's quickly close. Just say, Lord, increase my faith. The disciples prayed that prayer. Say, Lord, show me what I'm supposed to build. grant me faith. Faith can be granted. It can be granted. It can be granted. God will hold you responsible for the faith he did not grant you. That's another funny part of it. He will hold you responsible for the faith he did not grant you. Why? You did not reach out to him by faith to say, grant me faith. Say, Lord, what's my mission? Grant me faith. So that you will not have to remove from Jerusalem the righteous and the wicked. So that nobody needs to be removed. Say, Lord, have mercy on my unbelief. Say, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Oh, give him thanks. I say, Lord, thank you for correcting me. Thank you for your word I've heard today. Thank you for your word that I've heard today. Thank you. Say, I will be responsible. I will be responsible. It's about being available for God to use. Remember, whatever you are going to do for God, you will activate it by faith. Faith, he says, is the substance of things hoped for and the conviction, the assurance of things not seen. Believe God for great things and he will do them in your life. The reason why faith has been weak is because it's been selfish. The reason why faith has been weak is because it has been self-centered. When you stir up faith to bless the nation, when you stir up faith to bless the advancement of the gospel, when you stir up faith to bless the church of God, when you stir up faith to bless your neighbors, to bless the brethren, to bless the people, God will grant great faith to you and great things will be done through your hands in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Let's give the Lord thanks. Say, Lord, we thank you for today. We thank you for today. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. Declare after me, say, in the name of Jesus, I stir up my faith. I stir up myself to take hold of the Lord. And through me, he will manifest his glory. Put up your hand. In the name of Jesus, I bless you with the blessing of God.
Amen.
For the fact that you came today, goodness and mercy will follow you.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
No evil will befall you.
Amen.
No plague will come near your dwelling place.
Amen.
Even if you sit on a Boko Haram bomb, for your sake it will not go off.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
God will preserve this nation because of you.
Amen.
You are blessed.
Amen.
Your family is blessed.
Amen.
I declare your children blessed.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I declare your children blessed.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
God will open clearly to you what is your portion to execute for him on this earth.
Amen.
You will see it clearly.
Amen.
Listen to this. Favor will come to you.
Amen.
Help will come to you.
Amen.
Listen, you have been trying to borrow 10 million. Somebody will give you no interest, 50 million naira.
Amen.
To start a business.
Amen.
In fact, some will say, okay, just give me 25%. Because I know you will do well. I have a word for you. Take it. Don't release more than 25%. You will do well.
Amen.
You will make that man rich.
Amen.
You will make him happy he got to know you.
Amen.
Where banks are charging 20%, 30% interest rate, you will get 0% interest rate.
Amen.
Because God will send help to you.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You will get land to use and you will not pay for it.
Amen.
Ah, say amen like you want that to.
Amen.
I said, for your factory, you will get land to use and you will not pay for it.
Amen.
In fact, they say they will even pay you if you take some more.
Amen.
That's the favor that will come to you.
Amen.
For having a heart that loves God and loves people and loves the nation, God will make all grace abound towards you. You will have all sufficiency in all things and you will abound to every good work.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You will end importation in an area. I said, for certain areas, you will end importation.
Amen.
Because your factory will supply the whole of the nation.
Amen.
And we export.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I shared the testimony of the factory that Dangote is planning to build. That is what God can do for people who will stretch their hands. Listen, this man, Strive Masiwa, he said, by virtue of faith and the gift of God inside him, he raised $1.5 billion. I'm not talking about $1.5 billionaire. $1.5 billion to get the shares of Econet out of the public market. That was what God did for him. He will do great things for you also.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
All right, let's share the grace in fellowship. Surely we are born out of death and we have passed into life. We have passed out of darkness into the light of Christ. We have passed out from under the curse into the blessing. All things have passed away in our lives. We are now filled with the Spirit of Christ. We live above sin and walk above the devil because we are seated high above with Christ. This is our season of fruitfulness and multiplication in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. One more time. This is my season of fruitfulness and multiplication in the name of Jesus Christ.